With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, James Anderson. And this week, I've got my buddy Chris Welsh on to discuss the results of the mid-season P1 ADP mocks that I participated in. Chris, how are you doing?
What's up, James? I am doing good. I'm excited to talk prospects with you. And this is actually going to be probably the biggest first look at the ADPs. They literally just finished yesterday. Everyone doesn't know what they are. It's multiple mocks that are only prospect driven. It's like, you know, 15 rounds of 12 teams. Everybody just draft a prospect system like you would want, like you would build in your dynasty. And then I take all of the mocks and I put them together and we create an average draft position of where they went. So it's, you know, however you want to look at it, ADP or a value system, maybe it's a trade chart, you can look at it. And we've got industry people, we've got really hardcore dynasty people, and it's a really great process, but it just finished yesterday and I haven't even done like the big major dive or done anything on my show. So this will actually be the first real comparative look with your league and the overall ADP, which people can find next week or so over at inthisleague.com over on the Patreon if they want to check it out.
Yeah, this is just going to be kind of like a preview of that. You definitely want to get over to Patreon in this league and support everything Chris is doing over there, and you'll get access to the full thing. I don't have access to it yet, but we're going to kind of talk about.
I will give you access. You always get access. You get free access on what you need, my friend.
I'm a patron, so I can get it that way. But I was in one of the leagues, and we're going to kind of use those results as kind of a jumping off point to talk about some of these guys. You know, in my league, the very first pick was Corbin Carroll, and I know it's kind of boring to talk about the first pick, but I kind of had an epiphany a couple days ago that I think Corbin Carroll might be one of the more underrated number one fantasy prospects that I can remember. Like, I think he's a future fantasy star. I've got him as like a top 25 player for Dynasty. And I feel like I'm on the high end of my expectations for him. I'm on the high end of how much I like him. I think a lot of people are kind of wishy-washy about whether it's Carroll or Gunnar Henderson or, I think there's
consensus for sure.
But to me, like, I guess my point is, like, I think there should be a consensus. I think Corbin Carroll, to me, is the number one guy with a bullet, and I'm interested in what the P1 ADP results have to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's mine as well. He's my number one. I just was it's the call-up, Triple Play's prospect show, and I was talking about him in the, like, who's the next guy to come up. Sure, you can make arguments that he wouldn't. I think the manipulation of what's going on with it's a new manipulation, by the way, with baseball. It's like, hey, if a guy breaks camp is on the opening day roster, they get a pick. That is now having this adverse effect where they put that in, I think, at least I could be wrong, but they put that in so teams don't manipulate the front end. But now it's creating the ability. We don't have a track record as the first year they're doing it, but I think it creates the ability that they could be doing it on the back end, where you don't want guys to exhaust prospect eligibility for next year, because if, let's say Corbin Carroll is the example, breaks camp next year and is still prospect eligible and wins rookie of the year, Diamondbacks get a first round pick. You know, that's what the Mariners are going to do. So that's all to say that, like, I've been talking about Corbin Carroll, that I think he's a guy that comes up this year, but it's later and it's for a small sample size, so he doesn't look the prospect eligibility. And I kind of agree with you, because Carroll feels unsexy. And you and I have talked about this a little bit. Like, this isn't one of the years where we've had an Acuna or a Tatis or a Franco or a Julio. Like, it doesn't have that superstar feel. But Corbin Carroll is playing at a superstar level, you know, almost 30 stolen bases, hitting close to 25 homers. He's hitting over 300 at AAA now, and he has been consistently a rock star. I thought this was going to be a little bit more mixed. In the four leagues that we did, Corbin Carroll went number one overall in three of them. So three of four leagues, so 75 percentile. And that, you know, obviously is easily going to make him the consensus number one. I think his ADP was 1.3 based on those four leagues. And the next closest person had a ADP of, actually I've got to, oh yeah, no, this is the ADP. The next closest person had a 2.8. So one of the biggest separators between any of these in the top five was 1 to 2, and it was Corbin Carroll. So he was kind of given the consensus marker.
Yeah, you know, I think he is going to be a star. I get those vibes from him. I would take him over Wander Franco in Dynasty. And I just think you might even be able to, like, it might be a good time to try to trade for him and quote unquote buy high, but I don't think the cost is what it should be. Like, I don't think he should be acquirable.
So that's really interesting that you said that with the Corbin Carroll versus Franco, because I'm really torn on Franco right now because he had that, like, that really big boost in that first month where you're like, okay, here we go. Like, the question always has been, it's going to be a big high contact guy. Where are the counting stats going to go? Is he going to push into like an elite level with his, will he still steal and everything? And then he started to show that, and then he got hurt, and then it fell apart, and he never regained that. And it looked like, oh, is this going to get empty? Are we, you know, this isn't like Luis Arraez empty, but how empty is this going to go? And we're kind of walking into that next year as well. Like, Franco's like a star, but is he a baseball star or a fantasy star? And he doesn't look like a fantasy star right now. So that's actually a really interesting question. If Carroll, if you assume Carroll is going to break camp with the Diamondbacks next year, this is a guy that hits the ball hard, flies, makes great contact, doubles power that is turned into 20 plus, and he is not the biggest guy in the world. Super smart. He has single-handedly altered multiple players' swings and worked with them almost like a coach in the minor leagues. And if you assume he's going to break camp and he's going to lead off, maybe hit two. I mean, imagine, dude, you're going to have Alec Thomas and Corbin Carroll at the top of a lineup for the Diamondbacks. You can make that argument that he is more valuable in Dynasty. And I don't think it's not a question of like straight up. You could get Carroll plus, I think, for Franco easy in Dynasty right now. And that might be a really slick move. Maybe wait for Franco to put some stats back up before you jump in on that. But I think that's kind of what you're getting at, is like, you could get Carroll plus for Franco, I think, in Dynasty, and probably 9 out of 10 leagues, don't you think? Or you think it's going to be hard?
Well,
you think it's
I don't know. I think Carroll is underrated. I don't know if Wander Franco has the shine to do that still. Because, like, I think Carroll's going to hit for more power than Wander Franco. And I think Carroll's going to have more steals per year than Franco's homers plus steals. Like, I just think the counting stats, like, Carroll's going to double him up. And I think his hit tool is really, really good. I don't know what you would need to see from him beyond what he's already shown, but I get the sense, like, people just don't have, like, they don't think of him as a number one prospect. And I just think he's like, I think he's like a Trey Turner starter kit basically. But anyway, let's.
I'm actually going to do this real quick. I'm gonna do this for us, and we can come back to it maybe at the end of the show if you want, because I think you're bringing up like just an awesome question. And how about this? I'm going to put up a poll. I'm going to tag you in it, James, and let's do that. Let's see what the interweb. That's always the fun thing to do, right? Is to see where everybody's at. Let's see what people think. Who'd you rather have in Dynasty right now? Corbin Carroll, Wander Franco. And if you want, we can come in at the end of the show and see. Because I think it's going to be 60-40, where name recognition might feel more 70-30. But to what you're getting at, it probably belongs 60-40 Carroll at this point. So what is an early prediction, you think?
I think it might be close to 50-50.
Okay.
We'll circle back.
Yeah. All right, cool.
So then which guys, you know, in, I'll just go through the top 10 in my draft. It went Corbin Carroll, Jordan Walker, Anthony Volpe, Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Lawler, Jackson Churio, Ellie De La Cruz, Robert Hassel, Miguel Vargas was my pick, ninth overall in my draft. And then Grayson Rodriguez was the 10th pick. To me, it was kind of chalky. I mentioned that we actually had a group me room going for my specific league. And yeah, I think after like after I took Vargas ninth, I commented that it's been pretty chalky. Matt Thompson from Prospects Live was kind of like, is there chalk? And I was like, well, basically what I meant was the top nine guys were the exact same as my top nine on my updated top 400, just in a different order. Were you kind of getting a sense that that sort of top nine-ish, like we can even kind of leave Grayson out, but like, is that kind of what you were noticing? Were there other guys that I didn't mention who were kind of going in the middle of the top 10 in any of these drafts?
No, I think it's really astute. You kind of nailed the exact concept of it. Is I get where what Matt is talking about. Is there anything really chalky? But actually, yes. That is in not the same order you said. Those are the top 10 guys of the ADP. That's what the ADP spit out. There was some variance. The only guy, there are only three players that fell, or actually, let me say it like this. There are only two players that fell outside of the top 10 on this list, and it was Robert Hassel and Grayson Rodriguez in a singular league. But every single player you mentioned, including Miguel Vargas, who ended up being the 10th overall, were inside the top 10. So there is a created chalk to what the top 10 value system is. I think some people might have been surprised that like Ezekiel Tovar didn't come into there. He did go inside the top 10 in two leagues, so he was really close. Drew Jones was kind of in that as well. He went top 10 in two leagues. I took him at 9 in ours, in the league I was in. So those two were probably the closest fringier guys. But that group that you said, as much as it might not feel chalk, because I think the pool is open, you've got, I think it was like Baseball America that has Churio is like number 2 overall now, and Ellie and Gunner sometimes is number 1. And I think people are kind of flippy floppy on where they want Volpe to be. But at the end of the day, with all of those questions, it is a chalk top 10. Maybe it's not a chalk top 3, 4, 5. I don't think you can quite say that right now, but the 10 is those players. And that is exactly what the ADP spit out.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think, in those, there's obviously going to be some leagues. If you do four drafts, it's not going to be the same 10 as the top 10 in all of them. And like Tovar went 15th, I think, in mine. I haven't ranked even a little bit lower than that. So, that's interesting. I did want to mention, or I did want to bring up Vaughn Grissom, who obviously just got the call.
Huge.
And, first of all, props to Atlanta. If you go back, I think that was the 2019 draft. Let me double check that. The 2019 draft. I was looking at this the other day. They got Michael Harris and Vaughn Grissom in that draft for a combined signing bonus of under $1 million for those two guys.
Unbelievable.
That's just elite amateur scouting and development, obviously, but I mean scouting in general, to get two prep hitters who have been this quick to the majors, who are up the middle players, who you didn't even have to shell out seven figures for.
And also that
scouting by them,
and also that are like kind of like molded in the same general sense, like really high contact hitters that steal, that have grown into more game power that was a little bit tough to judge early on. Like, they're hitting it out of the park, and it's something you and I think sometimes we'll do is you maybe need to even pay a little bit more attention to Atlanta and some of the other guys that they're bringing in, and they have, with how good of a development they have. You have to give them extra points like we would pitchers in Seattle right now or in Cleveland or something like that.
Yeah. And I think they might've, if I remember right, they found both those guys kind of in their backyard. So just really good scouting by them. But anyways, to Vaughn Grissom, I took him with my second pick at 16 overall.
That was the highest of any of the leagues you took him, and it looks great right now. Yeah, he did. He actually had probably, I'm trying to take a look here. He didn't have the highest. I could tell you the other highest if you want to get into it. But of the top 25 guys, he had the second highest variance between high and low pick because he had a high of 16, which was you, and a low of 35. So that was probably, that was number two of the highest variance in the top 25.
Okay. I want to try to guess the top guy.
How when about, I say it, if you don't get it, you will be like, oh, duh.
How about Noel V. Marte?
Ooh, that's a very good guess. But you want to know what? He was, let's see, hold on. I just went to him. He was pretty chalk. He had only a 6-pick difference between all four leagues. So he was pretty chalk in that one. How about one more guess? You're going to be pissed when I tell you if you don't get it. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
This is not a guy you have in your top 25, I think, anymore. So think of it like that.
Marco Luciano?
Nailed it. That's it. Yep, okay. That's exactly right. Yeah, I think you would have kicked yourself and been like, oh, yeah, duh, of course. Because he went as high as 15 in one of the leagues. That name is still there, but went as low as 35. 37, I think it was, in one of those. So he ended up still getting a pretty decent, you know, ADP when all is said and done, but he really had a high swing. And I still think he's tough. I'm not completely out, but you don't like the strikeout stuff. He really tapered off of the power and the speed went away. So this is something where you could jump off. You could be completely out if you want. I still think there's a big adjustment period that's going to come back with him, but think about this. This is an interesting concept. Look at what Atlanta is doing. And look at the touting we put on the Giants and how falling apart that's becoming. Something we might have to look back on the scouting and maybe how we evaluate early Giants prospects, where we were like, oh my God, Luis Matos, Marco Luciano, this is crazy. And look at the higher levels, how they've fallen apart. Averson Arteaga, who was one of the best hitters in complex last year, has been a little bit more average. So they do really well in their scouting and how they develop these guys at the lowest levels to prop them up really high, which would be fascinating if they traded them and they were an organization that propped up their prospects to trade like some organizations will do. But these guys really struggle in the mid range. And I don't think we have any good data yet or even like something to balance off of how these guys get once they do get to the majors. Joey Bart is probably the only one, but it's not the same case as guys like Jairo Pomares and Luciano and Matos, the really high international guys that haven't quite worked. But Marco Luciano, probably the highest variance of the top 25 guys taken. And number two was Grisham.
I mean, they've completely whiffed on some first-round hitters, Patrick Bailey, Hunter Bishop. I remember I was going through because I was kind of doing an inventory of each system to kind of update the team top 20s a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And I just remember being like, man, the Giants just system got way worse than it was like a year ago. And they didn't really graduate anyone. So,
No advanced movement or anything like that. It's just so weird because it was like literally 2 or 3 years ago. We're like, man, look at OBP leaders, 400 OBP. They've got a type. Their guys are developing. Pomares looked like he was really promising. Matos coming into this year too. I saw Matos during spring training and he had gotten so much bigger, was looking like Ronald Acuna, it's fallen apart. Injuries played a role. He's just not making the same contact. There's no great impact. It's really weird of the kind of fall that a lot of these guys are having right now.
Yeah. I kind of think Matos maybe got too big. And I think, like I sort of always thought he could be kind of like an Andrew McCutcheny type of guy. And I think he's outgrown that. And then also I think the Giants were trying to, cause he always had that super aggressive approach. I think I remember reading that he was trying to be more patient and then it sort of turned into like, he sort of lost his magic because, you know, he was such a good bat to ball guy. And he's kind of in between approaches now. And so, I mean, with that one, I would have probably just left him alone. But yeah, we're off track. So James Wood, for instance, he went 13 overall in mine. I was hoping to get him at 16. And Dan Fu, who I've heard you reference on your pod before, he's an ITL great guy.
He's a great dude.
He went Eury Pérez, James Wood at the turn, which I gave him props for. But I remember when the Soto trade happened, I was kind of saying how good of a haul the Nationals got because of sort of James Wood, to me, had sort of established himself as a top 12 prospect, top 15 prospect. He went 13 in mine. Is that now a consensus, or was that just sort of a high mark on Wood?
No, so it is more the consensus. He actually, only one league did he go outside of the top 20, and it was yours. It was your at 24. That was the only time he
went 13. He went 13.
I'm looking at that wrong. I apologize. It was league three, which actually the itch, he got him at 24. Every other one, it was inside the top 20. You know, it's a tough one. I've seen James Wood a lot from, I was at his major league debut with him and Jackson Merrill. I saw him then. So I've literally seen a progression, and I've noticed something. And I've talked about this on Prospect One, and I've done it in our GroupMe rooms and stuff, that he is a tough evaluation for someone like me who sees him in person a lot, because he is a play up guy. I have seen him debut. It was instructs. It was minor league spring training and a rehab start this year. Every time I've seen him, he has sucked. He has not looked good. He's swinging through pitches. He's hyper aggressive. He's not patient. And also, over the last couple of times I've seen him, especially when he was rehabbing off of his injury out here, he just doesn't want to be there. And it looks like it's power swings. And then what happens is he gets in to where he's supposed to be, gets into stadiums with people, and he picks it up. And all of a sudden, patient hitting comes in. He's waiting on breaking balls. He's showing off that enormous power. He's a giant human being who I've worried a little bit about, like, you know, how he was ultimately going to take care of his body. He's stealing bases. So I've always been a little bit one foot in, one foot out on him. And I kind of thought he might not make the big jump just because I might have had him a little bit lower than other people. But that didn't happen. He is a teens ranked player on the P1 ADP. Very, very high. Higher than Noelvi Marte, higher than Marcelo Mayer, for just a couple reference for people that want to know. It has become the consensus as far as what his value is a top 20 prospect. Easy.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that that's kind of where people are at on him. I mean, that's the fun thing about doing these when you did this one, like kind of mid-season, is you just, a lot of stuff is kind of, everyone's kind of in agreement, like James Wood, people are like, yep, top 20. But then there was the craziest, like, I don't know if this is just, like, I was just mind blown by something. And I want to get to that in a second here, but.
I have a James Wood comment I want to just give you real quick before we move off of it. Is you want to talk about what I've never done a mid-season update on these before. The first time I ever did it, I did one round, like five or six leagues, bam. Then the next year I did it, I did two different versions. I did like a November, October one, and then I did one close to the season, and we looked at the differences. This year, I have an October one, I have a February one, and I have one now. So you get to see almost a full year progression of a player. You want to talk about big movement based on these. There are two guys that had an over 100, almost 150 move based on preseason value to in-season. And James Wood is one of those. He had an ADP when we did it in the fall of 170. He then moved up in February to 165. And now he's inside the top 20 here. So, I mean, that is a huge, huge move he had. That's why this midseason one, I agree. It's something I will be on the regular now when I do these, is trying to consistently update them every 3 or 4 months. And it's thanks to, you know, all you guys that partake in it. But I think it helps us all to really see this type of big move, because this is a steal preseason that now has massive value.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's head to a quick break from our sponsors, and then I'll get to the most surprising pick of my draft in the midseason P1 ADP mocks.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The weather is heating up, and so are the promotions at Caesars Sportsbook. Today, anyone who is at least 21 years old and in a licensed Caesars Sportsbook state can create a new account and redeem the Caesars Sportsbook promo code ROTO15. That's ROTO15. The promo code gives new users a risk-free first bet up to $1,500. Visit Caesars.com/sportsbooks or download the Caesars Sportsbook app today. And don't forget to use promo code ROTO15 when signing up. All right, so Welsh, the biggest surprise to me, and it was just kind of I just couldn't believe the way that my draft was discounting this guy. And I ended up getting him as my only – we did 15 rounds. I took one pitcher in my 15 picks, and it was Nick Lodolo at pick 57. And he was SP11 in mine. And some of the pitchers that went ahead of him, I was just – I just don't think it's defensible. I'm not going to call the people out by name who did these picks, but Bobby Miller went ahead of him. Max Meyer went ahead of him.
Go ahead. Yeah, let me throw one thing into this. This is a little bit of a dicey one because, and I acknowledge this, Lodolo will not be in the rank update or this ADP. So just pointing this out, I took out a few guys ahead of time. Now, a lot of times when we do this type of stuff, we do them on Google Sheets, which sometimes is great and sometimes it's just so much work. I have it where I have a dear friend, Jesse Severe, who hosts the Dynasty Life podcast, which you guys want to check out. He helps me with this, and we do a player pool on Fantrax. And I tried to preemptively take out players that I thought were going to like exercise it completely. Vinny Pasquantino was kind of one of those. I'm trying to remember a couple of the other guys. And Lodolo was meant to come out because he was going to be close to exhausting the prospect eligibility. So that one was probably a little bit of a mistake, just trying to throw out there, because I agree with you. At the end of the day, like, if you get outside of five SPs and Lodolo's not one of them at this point, especially from a dynasty perspective, it's kind of silly because he's in the majors. So just want to, like, it is indefensible, but I think there's like a couple people might have had it in their minds where I said, and someone might have even asked me where I was like, we don't want to take that guy. So that one got screwed up a little bit of all of the picks, and I probably will have him. I've already taken him out of it because I don't want it to be representative of his value, because I moved him way up in my dynasty ranks. And I think you were with me on this. We had big team Hunter Green going on early in the season, and I've been a Nick Lodolo guy since the beginning. And there was a time where it wasn't popular to be Nick Lodolo. It was all Hunter Green. And I'm a Nick Lodolo guy. You are as well. I think you could justify him as the number one pitcher out of all of these based on what he's doing right now. So it's a good point out here, but he won't be on the list because of kind of that wonkiness. And that was some, that was probably the one thing I screwed up as far as a player being available that really shouldn't have been.
Okay. Well, I'll give those, I'll give those people a minor pass, but anyways, Lodolo to me, yeah, just, you know, wrapping up on him. Like I think he could be an SP1 in time. Like just the bat missing stuff is kind of outrageous, and it's you know, you just hope he stays healthy. You hope the back issue doesn't come back. But that was my one pitcher out of 15 picks, and I wasn't going into this saying like I'm only going to take hitters. I sort of would have guessed that I would have ended up with three or four pitchers.
You've usually been a three pitcher guy. You and I always are kind of the same way. We're not heavy pitching. We're going to go hitters. I want to say historically, I could go back and look because I do keep all of the 80. That's another thing I have on my this big list I have with like my prospects and first year player and dynasty is I also have the historical ADP. So I have the list from 2020 and 2021. And if I went back, look back, I would guess you and I have never drafted more than three pitchers in a single one of these. And you've done every single one with me. So, and I think I drafted three in this one. So I'm a little surprised you only took one, but I don't blame you for it. I actually went kind of high. I usually don't go high on pitchers. My highest, just throwing it out here for anybody, I'm absolutely in love with Ricky Tiedemann. And I took him, I think third or fourth round in this one. And I thought it was a steal. So I'm with you. Not a lot of high pitching takes for me.
I almost got Caleb Killian with my last pick. He went three picks ahead of me, but that would have been a pick 177 in this draft. And I think honestly, you know, why I didn't get many pitchers is just because I had just completed this update. And so I was just, you know, rattling off these hitters that I had moved up or just, I guess there's a decent amount of hitters where at least in this draft room I was in, I was higher than everyone on. And so I just kept taking those guys. And so none of the, I think the pitchers, it's a little bit more kind of obvious, you know, sort of who the guys are. Whereas I think that there's more sort of pop-up hitting on this midseason update, at least for mine. So I think that's kind of how I would sort of explain it.
One thing I like to do too is I like to do these before everyone has these bigger updates. Like I did wait this time for the draft. I thought that was super important. But I thought there was an advantage to, especially conversation, is doing these before myself, you, or Cross, or anybody had any big public updates. So that had major, major influence because we can go in back and take a look. Because, you know, I even think, like I said, I'm a little bit lower on James Wood than maybe everybody else. And my own rank didn't change any influence of where he went. And I think those are other ways to kind of look at this as well. You know, you can say, you know, you didn't publicly go out and be all in on a guy that you moved, you know, really, really high up, and yet he was still up, shows that people are following you. Or you can kind of start to find deals of, hey, you know, you see this guy way up here, the consensus thought before you released it was down here. That might be an advantage of how you can you know, get in some trades early on or even into the offseason.
So my next question is, was there any consensus on who the number five first year player draft pick is after those four prep hitters?
Okay, so who the fifth one was. Let's take a look here. So I can tell you who it was once I get to them.
I can maybe, or go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, I found them. Sorry. There's a big gap is the first thing I'm going to tell you. It is the prep hitters. There's the number one guy. Then there's a gap. Here's a fun fact. The three prep hitters not named Drew Jones were back to back to back. They're all back to back to back on the list. And then there's about a 35 pick gap. And I guess you could call it a consensus. Number five is Brooks Lee on the list. He was inside the top 75. There's only one other guy that's at the top 75 marker, but he's about six or seven picks lower. It's Kevin Parada. But Brooks Lee is the guy that's given the totem here with a top 70 overall pick. He had a high of 60 and a low of 81 as far as where he was picked. Where if I take a look at a couple of the guys lower, Parada's highest was 65, so that doesn't get it. Zach Neto had a high of 63, but the rest were kind of in the 80s. And one I was surprised about was Cam Collier might have had one of the biggest top 100 differences, where he had a high of 67 and a low of 105. And I got him at 105 in my league. I was shocked that he was still sitting out there. So the next grouping starts to become, so I think how it looks is like you've got your prep, then you've got Brooks Lee, and then what you've got is a barrage of like the Paradas, Nettos, Colliers, and Jacob Berries. And that's how they sit. So Brooks Lee ended up being the guy.
Okay, that's interesting. I think that might just be there might be fewer people who are low on Brooks Lee, I would think, maybe than anything else. Like I got
that's Jacob a good Berry, way to put it.
I got Jacob Berry at 112, so my 10th round pick. And he was just sitting out there. I almost took him a couple times. And
you got him so crazy low, by the way. He was in, he only had a variance of 10 picks in all three other drafts. You got him almost 30 picks lower than anybody. So for whatever reason, you're, and that's why it's so important to do multiple leagues here, because if we only did yours, you'd be like, holy crap, Jacob Berry is the biggest value on the planet. He's outside the top 100. You're the only one that got him outside the top 100. Same thing with me with Collier. Collier had only a difference of, well, I guess he had a little bit of like 13 picks. And then all of a sudden I come in and I get him 25 picks later than anybody else. So people are not, that's where there's going to be advantages. People are not caught up on the rookie guys, but I do think how you said it, it's a pretty good way to do it. Like there's a floor with Brooks Lee, I think, that people trust, but the upside, I don't even think it's a question. The upside of Berry and Collier is bigger than Brooks Lee. But I think after the high school guys, people just kind of get stuck and are just like, well, I'm going to go, and not to down talk Brooks Lee or anything like that, but there's a much better floor that goes on with him compared to maybe some of the other upside. I mean, look at Zach Neto right now, by the way. That was a hit double A. Look at the aggressiveness on there, already starting to look really good. That's a guy that I think could be five. If we redid it right now, I wouldn't be surprised if we did see him at five based on how aggressive the promotions have been and how good, theoretically, how good he's looked.
Yeah, we'll see what the production looks like at AA. That could also be a thing where they're pushing him almost too fast and the numbers won't look that great at AA, and then people won't really know what to do with it.
Well, it is the Angels, so yeah.
I mean, they're just so, oh my gosh, they're never mind. Don't want to get off track. So I mentioned that I think Corbin Carroll to me is like one of the more underrated number one prospects that I can remember. I also think we might have a player right now in the prospect pool where the gap between their dynasty value and where they get ranked on real life lists is maybe bigger than I can recall. I mean, Christian Pache maybe is the closest that I can come up with.
This tease. You should have done this right before a commercial break. This tease has got me going. What, who are we talking
well,
about?
Well, no, I want you to guess. Like who?
Okay, so the guess is that they have a bigger gap than even Pache between fantasy and real life. Okay, so let me look here. Let me take a little peek because this is a great. Okay, I think it could be this guy right here. My guess is Gabriel Moreno.
Yep.
Did I nail it?
Yep.
Damn, I'm good. I know this thing. Yeah, no, I completely agree because that started to happen to me as well. I loved Moreno in the AFL for his patience. Though one of the things that happened is he wasn't really making any big contact. I likened his patience and his pitch recognition to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I didn't want people to freak out because he didn't have the power like him, but you know, he has his timing mechanism with his hands up top, and he didn't take bad pitches up until the back end of the AFL where sliders started to eat him up. Actually, Caleb Killian destroyed him in the championship game, just was getting eaten up by sliders. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And he looked like if that contact, you know, power lessening developed, if that contact turned into big power, this could be a really valuable catcher. The only thing is it doesn't really look like that's necessarily happening. There's good contact ability, but what you saw was this is a real life guy, kind of similar to how we're seeing like Francisco Alvarez be like the number one prospect on all these lists because he's a catcher. Moreno is still like in the top 10 because he has that full spectrum of talents behind the plate, but he screams the lack of fantasy upside right now because it looks kind of empty. It kind of feels Luis Arraez-ish to me. So as soon as I saw his name kind of scrolling the list, I was like, oh, this has got to be the guy because that's who I would pick between the big gap.
You know who he like, I'm getting and I was high. I took Kyber Ruiz in a couple redraft leagues, I think like kind of late 100s or so. But I'm sort of thinking Reyno could just have a Kyber Ruiz type of, you know, trajectory as a fantasy player where he's barely rosterable early on because of just the complete lack of power. And I ranked him 102 on my last update, and I didn't have a single person reach out wondering why he was outside the top 100, which just tells you that people are kind of in agreement for fantasy. Like, I always get people reaching out about Francisco Alvarez because I have him outside my top 25. And it's always from people who aren't RotoWire subscribers and they see that he's not my top 25 and they think I hate the Mets. But like no one said anything about me having Moreno outside my top 100. So I think the catcher market in general is it's fascinating to me because of how deep it is. To me at this point, when if you're just talking about like catchers between the age of like 20 and 28, there might be 20 guys that you would happily have as your catcher in Dynasty. And to me, that kind of devalues all of them except for the very top guys. Like Adley is fine. Will Smith's fine. Alejandro Kirk is great, obviously. But like the guy who's going to be 10th or whatever at catcher, to me, it's just like, who cares?
I guess it's good. And I think what's really important for a lot of people to also recognize with themselves, I've tried to say this a lot, is like, understand who you are as a fantasy person. I think that's going to help with some of the players that you draft, because it's like, if you are a guy that if you don't have immediate production and you know you're going to just fall off, then like maybe especially the catchers are not the guys for you. Like it starts to become a little bit easier to recognize, like, oh, this is a player that's going to have some early struggles and might take a bit. I think Gabriel Moreno is going to be a good major league starter, but Kiebert Ruiz is actually a really good comp of what you're doing, because Kiebert was a crazy high contact guy that then tried to sell out for power, lost his contact, took a little while, and now I think he's like a startable catcher, but he might get into that top 5-6 catcher range down the line a little bit because he's got power, contact and stuff, but there's no guarantees. So if you can't sit and wait, catchers really shouldn't be your bag right now because there's so many good ones. There's so many, the depth is out there. Good guys in a general range of the Henry Davises to even, I would take Kevin Parada at this point over Moreno. So I'm agreeing for the pretty much with everything you're saying.
And kind of to that point of patience, he's not a prospect anymore, but like I'm incredibly impressed by MJ Melendez's rookie season as a hitter. And yet I've had people like saying like, I'm ready to kind of move on from him. And it's just like, you know, he's slashing 230, 315, 431 with a 200 ISO as a rookie catcher. Like what were your expectations?
Impact bombs, impact power too. Yeah, I know. I completely agree. The impatience is, that's why, like, I guess my big thing is if you are impatient and you can't play any version of the long game, then you should be all prospect assets. They should be assets. Yes. You should sell high and buy low, and you should be comfortable with that. So you don't need to ask us those questions, by the way. Who would you hold on to? What do you care? Because you're not going to be patient. You should sell at the highest point of all the guys. And that's just a great dynasty strategy in general. I don't think it has to be 100% because I think there are guys that are worth waiting on, and hopefully we can try to help with that. I'm just not sure Moreno is one of those guys. And I don't think he is necessarily.
And like, Francisco Alvarez, I would say, I'm sure your ADP backs this up, probably the consensus number one catching prospect. But if you've got Francisco Alvarez right now, and you would be very disappointed if he did what MJ Melendez is doing in his rookie season, then you need to sell him right now. Because that's completely
1,000% agree. I mean, I think Francisco Alvarez is going to make better contact, but your point is dead on. Like, if you would be upset with those results, then you should sell because this is an all-time high. If your trade deadline is like another week and they call him up, that should be the moment you are selling off of Francisco Alvarez, because that ain't for you. This is not going to be for you because these guys are, he's the classic prototypical type of player you could see struggling with batting average. Melendez is a really great comp of, like, if you can't stomach it, just go get everything you possibly can. Go trade him for Wilson Contreras and get something else and just be, you know, maybe get a younger piece or two pieces that help now and just be happy with it.
So I want to wrap things up with a couple, just sort of the way that you are sort of looking back on your draft, like regrets in terms of sort of battle testing your ranks. Cause I had a couple that popped up to me. My one big regret is, and this is kind of injury related, but I took Curtis Meade at 40th overall, and I was between him and Brian Rocchio, who went three picks later. And if I could do it again, I would take Rocchio because I'm a little worried with Meade. Like, I mean, his injury right now could lead to Tommy John, and it's not the end of the world for a position player, but it would kind of set back his ETA a bit. Did you have any regrets in your draft where maybe you were hoping a guy would come back and then he didn't, and you'd kind of wish that you'd just taken him, or just anything kind of along those lines?
Yeah, so there's definitely one. There's one that stands out, and it happened right away. And there is a newer perceived value, which I don't know if I 100% understand, but I regret, even though I probably wouldn't have gotten him, on what I did with George Valera, because I think there is the opportunity that I could get Valera later than I value him. So I value George Valera very high, and I took him with my second pick. So I took Drew, and I actually was debating with my first pick, and you said it really well. These are also about battle testing your own rank sometimes and understanding. It's not something where you're going to like change necessarily your valuations, but on how you draft, especially if you want to try to take advantage of market value, I was like, all right, Drew Jones, Valera, I'm going to go with Drew Jones. And then Valera came back and I was like, sweet, this is great. I'm going to take Valera. Well, he ended up having an ADP that, again, he wouldn't have necessarily lasted back to me, but it was quite a bit lower than where I took him. And let me revert the sheet back, because I was looking at my own team here. One of the things that stood out was, I think I was the highest person on George Valera. So let me take a look here. Where did he go? He had an ADP. So yeah, I took him. He had a low of 37, and I took him into the teens, and only one other person took him into the teens. So one of the regrets in that is I passed on Yuri Perez. And that's kind of just my mental state of like not necessarily going with pitchers. I don't think I like Yuri Perez quite the same level that every other person does. I think I like Ricky Tiedemann more than anybody, but I love Yuri Perez. He's exciting, but I don't think I'm like, oh my God, take him in the first round. So, but I would have liked to have done that, but then I don't know if I would have taken Ricky Tiedemann later. So I do regret, but it's a positive in the battle testing of George Valera that I took him way too high compared to what the market value is, but I did get my guy, but I passed on a couple guys that would have looked really good on this construction.
Yeah. And then to the point of kind of battle testing, I just kept like, I love, like, I think Jonathan Aranda has a really, really good hit tool, and I think he will hit for, you know, enough power. Like, I think he could hit for a really high average with like 20 homers, maybe 25 homers in his mid 20s, but I just kept passing on him. And I just realized that I ranked him too high on my last update. And I think a big part of it is just the Tampa Bay Rays aspect of just, I don't know how long it's going to be until he's playing 5 days a week. And it might not be till this time next year. And like that just,
I think there's also a burn factor with them. I mean, think of the high ranked Rays that are not working out. Vidal Brujan, you could argue, obviously Franco, Josh Lowe. I mean, we prop this system up a whole lot for what they do, but then two things are kind of consistently happening. One is they hold those guys back or don't give them full playing time. And two is the production isn't really there. You know, like how many of these guys are really working at this stage of the game? So I think those burn factors kind of come into it, regardless of the awesome tools that he actually did have an ADP inside the top 100, but it was just barely.
Yeah. And I didn't end up with him. I think I ended up taking, like, I took, well, obviously I took Lodolo over him, but I took like Brett Beatty. Brett Beatty, I used to be like the low man on Brett Beatty, but he's like finally doing everything that I was upset that he wasn't doing, and he's just taken off. I got him in the sixth round. I'm guessing that was towards the low end of where he went.
Yeah. By the way, on Aranda, you want to check this out? He had a high of 50 and a low of 132. So obviously, Jordan Miller, I think this is Eric, the actor who took him. Eric must be a big fan of yours and paid attention, right. Took him 50. Yet in your own league, he went the lowest in your league because you kept passing on him. He went 132 in your league because you're like, all right, you know, I'm going to test and see who these people are going. He went outside the top 100 in three of those leagues, but literally Eric's ADP, his draft spot, is what pushed Aranda inside the top 100 in that 50.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's why I love when we do these like in the off season. I mean, there's usually a couple of people do sort of, mocks or dynasty mocks or something in the off season. Cause I do really value battle testing, the rankings. You just, when you're on the clock and then you've got, you know, three or four prospects in your queue, if you keep passing on a guy, like I was with Aranda, and it really has absolutely nothing to do with his skill necessarily. I hate that idea of him being up for 2 weeks, going back down for a month and a half, and then being back up for 3 weeks. It's just something that you kind of have to expect with the Rays. Let's see here. What about my guy, Yidi Capé, who I took 81st overall, seventh round. Where did he sort of settle in the ADP?
Well, I can tell you, you were not the highest or the second highest to draft him. You had the third highest. Only one league he went outside the top 100, and he went as high as 53. And that was actually in the league that I drafted, because I was looking at him. I have I'd consider a relatively aggressive grade on him. And he went inside the top 75. So his ADP is sitting inside the top 75. Some really fascinating names people might be interested to look at that are around him. But a very, very aggressive rank on a really stellar season so far. Good body projections, you know, power speed combo type of player. And he's a guy I fully expect to make a big jump. He was, fun fact, he had an ADP of 196 the first time we did this. He was undrafted in the February ADP. And remember, we were all in it. Every single analyst, or at least, you know, all the ones that partake with me and draft, he didn't register. And then this time he jumped up, and that was a huge, huge move from early, even preseason, which was done in February, to right now. Big move.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's a ton of teenagers that had just crazy movement. Because
Gabriel Gonzalez, my guy, Gabriel Gonzalez, huge move, actually above Yidi Capé. So
I'm sure Anthony Gutierrez went undrafted. I'm sure, you know, like in the February one.
Both, actually. Gutierrez, I'm looking right now. Actually, it's just funny you said him. I saw him yesterday. I went over to Rangers to the surprise in the stadium because I had been missing seeing him, and I caught him finally for the first time. Kumar Rocker's out there, Brock Porter just hanging out, and I saw Gutierrez. But yeah, he went in both of the mocks we did, undrafted, and this time he went, I believe, 108, something like that, like 108. So he, you know, complete huge change into this season.
Yeah, I got him in the 11th round of mine. Anyone else you wanna tease anything? Anyone else like really sort of surprise you, or you think people might be surprised about where they went before we wrap up?
I think there's a bunch of fascinating stuff. There's a bunch of good confirmations in here, which people are going to follow my ranks because I am doing this a little bit. But like Mason Wynn was really high, which I like to see. I think he's crazy talented. I'm a Gavin Williams guy, but like Gavin Williams had a higher ADP than Ricky Tiedemann, and I just don't agree with that. So that was kind of fun to see. Just that Gavin Williams is still getting like a lot, and he should get a lot of love. It's just Gavin Williams breaking before, like, let me look here. Gavin Williams went higher than Tiedemann in I think, 3 of the 4 drafts, which is just really surprising to me. He's a solid pitcher, but I think Tiedemann is just absolutely electric. We saw the downfall of Brennan Davis and Nick Gonzalez moving outside the top 40 on the ADP, which most might be like cool buy lows. And there, like you kind of said, there's a bunch of really interesting young guys that show up in the top 100. Davison de los Santos is in there. Gabriel Gonzalez, Capio, we talked about, Lazaro Montes, Warming Burnable, Adil Amador, all of those guys ended up being inside the top 100. Which
Montes
is,
was. Montes was top 100?
Montes inside the top 85.
Wow.
Let's see. He did not go outside 100 in a single league that we drafted. He was inside the top 100 in every single draft we did. So Lazaro Montes.
That's crazy because like I have him ranked just inside my top 100, but I was getting a lot of pushback from people about that. So
71 was the high. Highest single drafter was 71. And by the way, just to point out, not to be all like silly about it, but all of this stuff I'm reading off, you can see on the sheet, on the P1 ADP sheet, like it has the previous drafts and it shows you who drafted each player and like it'll break by a guy's name. It'll then break all 4 of the drafts. So you can see just really simple, like, this is where this guy went in all 4 drafts. And then you'll get to see analyst names and stuff like that. It's just like a cool handy tool. Oh, here's at least one last one we can leave with. And then we could check out the poll.
Oh yeah.
Khalil Watson just inside the top 100, but almost fell outside of it. He has fallen in all 3 drafts we've done, had a 38 fall ADP, a 42, and this time almost outside the top 100. So that was very, very interesting that, he barely made it. For examples, Alexander Canario and Aurelvis Martinez were drafted higher than Khalil Watson. So that's been quite a move. Do you have any guess on the poll? I'm going to take a look real quick. I haven't looked.
Well, yeah, my I'll stick with my original guess. I think it's going to be close to 50-50.
We had some cool, I love it. You always have like the quintessential comments. The first one, not even close.
I would have put a ton of money on someone saying it's not even close.
Totally.
Without even knowing which direction they said it was not even close in. Someone was going to say it's not even close.
My bets would be not even close. The other bet, which didn't happen, I would have not cashed, would have been, why are we even asking this? Why? That's the other one. That's always a fun one. But let's see. We had a couple votes for Carroll. We had one person go Wander by a lot. And the vote, it's going on here, 52.8% Wander Franco. So it's not even close, except within 2% of
It's not even close, except it's almost 50-50.
So. Except it's almost exactly like James said, 50% with a slight lean to Wander Franco.
It's not close, all caps. All right, well... that's classic Twitter.
Yep.
Well, tell people again where they can get these.
Yeah. Check it out. InThisLeague.com. I will tell you it's not posted as of this second. Right. But when you sign up on the Patreon, you get a whole month and hopefully you want to hang around. I do updates every single month. I kind of always said, like, I know you gotta like pay for everything nowadays, but everyone's trying to do what they can to keep making this great content. That's what you guys do. And that's why you should support RotoWire, which I know everyone listening to this does. And there's always consistently cool stuff, but having a couple really good ones that you are into to pair off of each other, I think is a huge advantage for you. And I would hope anyone checking out James's would want to maybe check out mine as well. So I update every month and this ADP will be available probably within the next week at inthisleague.com. It's at like a $5 level. And I will also have the historical old ones as well on my big sheet. So you could go back and look at like what happened in 2020 and 2021. And this is a fun tool. And listen, I'm going to do it again in October, right around AFL time. And that will probably be like the last 2022 update. So we can have this big look of 1 year on how things have changed. And then we'll kind of start it all over. So big things in thisleague.com. Sign up on the Patreon. You're directly supporting me if that's your thing, or you just want to get the cool stuff. And follow me on Twitter. Is it the Welsh? Whenever I can post out some prospect videos, like Gabriel Gonzalez's monster homer last week, or Josh Young making his debut, I was able to catch a couple of those, which was fun.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate you taking the time. Please support what Chris is doing over at In This League on Patreon. My dynasty rankings will be updated Thursday morning. Sorry for the wait on those.
Can I ask a question on your dynasty ranks real quick? Just one. Please. Just one. Michael Harris. Give me a range.
He's in the 20s, I think. Late 20s.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. I mean, that, so we're almost identical because I made a huge move on Michael Harris on my last one. I'm all in. So we're about the same spot. Love to hear it.
Absolutely, man. Well, really appreciate it. I'll be back next week.